We're all just a little bit different. We all have different backgrounds, have different tastes, but there are certain things that we all share in common. For example, we can't control what others say, do, think, or feel. We cannot control the weather. That's why we're changing the picnic. It's for July 13th, by the way. We can't control what someone thinks about us. We cannot control how the Bucks perform in the playoffs next year. All of us wrestle with difficult situations that are beyond our control. And in the Bible, we find multiple examples of people that wrestle with circumstances that were completely beyond their control. One of those people was Naaman. Go with me, 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Naaman was the commander of the army of Syria. Aram, in biblical times, is what we know today as Syria. He was a successful man. He was very wealthy. He was very honorable. People in his community respected him. He had everything that anyone would ever want to have. He had the good life. Sadly, at the height of his success, Naaman contracted leprosy, an incurable disease. Naaman's leprosy was a circumstance that was beyond his control. Like Naaman, have you ever had to face a circumstance that was outside of your control? What did you do? Today, we'll briefly uncover a healthy way to react to circumstances that are beyond our control. From the story of Naaman, we'll learn 7 steps that we can use when facing circumstances that are completely beyond our control. You see, for some of us, this is something relevant, and we have to take notes. So we gotta take out our phones or our tablets or a piece of paper and take some notes. Because when we leave here this morning, we need to start applying it. For others, this is a good reminder of something that you already know, but you must keep it in mind for the future. So let's continue with our story, and we'll discover these principles one by one as we go along. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 2. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Syria was Israel's worst enemy. Periodically, Syria would raid into Israel and would start killing people, stealing things, and actually kidnapping people and taking them back as prisoners to Syria. One of these prisoners was a Jewish girl, a girl that we don't know her name, a girl that had been taken from her home by force. She had been kidnapped. Most likely, she had to witness the death of her parents, her siblings. She was abused, mistreated, and taken to another country to serve as a slave to a wealthy man and his wife. She became the slave to Naaman's wife. This girl, she had a tumultuous past. She had more than enough reasons to be angry. She had more than enough reasons to feel frustrated. She had more than enough reasons to feel like everything was hopeless. She could have felt bitter. But instead of harboring hatred, instead of being vengeful, she managed to keep her faith. Even though she had gone through these horrible, traumatic situations, she was able to keep her faith. And she chose not to be defined by her circumstances. In fact, when she found out that Naaman had contracted leprosy, when she found out that the man that had killed her family, when she found out that the man that had taken her away from her home to a whole new different place, when she discovered that the people, the man that had, that was abusing her people, the Israelites, was sick, when she found out that Naaman had contracted leprosy, she told Naaman's wife that they're secure. She went to the wife of Naaman and said, I know that Naaman is sick, and I want to tell you something. The God that I serve is a mighty God. The God that I serve is a powerful God. And the God that I serve has a prophet in Israel, and he can heal Naaman. This is the girl that could have been asking herself, why this happened to me? This is the girl that could have been suffering and feeling sorry for herself for all her negative things that happened to her, because so many things in her life were beyond her control. But instead, she cared enough to speak up. She had faith enough to believe that God was powerful. She cared enough to believe that there is hope. She understood something that I feel that we need to understand. She understood that her purpose was greater than her past. That regardless of everything that she had gone through, God created her with a purpose. That she was not an accident, and you are not an accident either. And God has a purpose for you, just like he had a purpose with this young woman. She was the person that God created her to be, regardless of the circumstances. Like this girl, today you may find yourself in the middle of a mess caused by circumstances beyond your control. You may have the right to feel angry. You may have the right to feel frustrated, hopeless, or bitter. But like this girl, don't allow the circumstances beyond your control to define you. Like this girl, why don't you take a stand and speak up in faith and believe that your God is greater than the circumstances that you're facing? Instead, feeling sorry for yourself, for the things that you cannot control, why don't you ask yourself, what can I do to bless those around me? Where I am right now, what can I do to make someone else's life better? And you may say, well, Pastor Armin, my life is not better. Yes, I understand. And that's exactly what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to trust that God will take care of you as you take care of those who are around you. When facing circumstances that are beyond your control, you need to focus on your purpose. Focus on your purpose. Your purpose will not change. Circumstances around you will change, but God created you with a purpose, and regardless where you are, your purpose will still be true. Let's continue with our story. Verse 5. By all means, go. The king of Aram replied, I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Wasting no time, Naaman broke the news to the king of Syria. Now, the king of Syria was not a good man. The king of Syria was not a godly man. In fact, the king of Syria was the greatest enemy of the people of God. Naaman's idea must have sounded foolish to him. You see, in those days, people believed that their gods were territorial, that every nation had a god, and that when one nation fought another one and conquered them and defeated them, it was because their god was stronger. And since Israel had been defeated multiple times by Syria, the king of Syria must have regarded the God of Israel as weak. Boy, was he mistaken. But at the time, the king of Syria couldn't heal Naaman. They had tried, nothing worked. So the king of Syria had to do something he had never done. He invested the equivalent of $2 million to get Naaman's health back. That's a great fringe benefit. You think if your boss would say, you have $2 million that you can spend for health insurance. But the king of Syria was willing to do something new, something different, because nothing else had worked. So he invested $2 million in Naaman, and he sent Naaman with a letter to the king of Israel. Like the king of Syria, when you're facing circumstances that are beyond your control, you should be open to try new things. When the things that you've been doing are not working, when the situations around you are outside of your control, it's a great time to try something new. You see, trying something new forces you to grow. Like Viktor Frankl, and Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor and a psychiatrist, he said the following: when we can no longer change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. When we can no longer change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. When the things that we're going through are outside of our control, we need to do something different. We don't grow from doing something we've always done. Growth requires that we do something new. Growth requires that we do something different, whether it is adapting to a new attitude or a new way of thinking, or literally taking new action. When we're facing circumstances that are beyond your control, be open to try new things. And that may be that you need to start applying for another job. Or that may be that you finally need to ask her out. Be brave. We're praying for you. It may be that you need to go back to school. Or finally buy that house that you've always been dreaming of. But when circumstances are beyond your control, you need to be open to try new things. If not, nothing will ever change. Let's continue with our story. Verse 7, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. When Naaman arrived to the palace of the king of Israel, he arrived at the palace with a letter. And I want you to notice something, because that young little girl had told Naaman's wife that the one that had the power to heal was God. That little girl has said that the one that had the power to make everything new was the prophet of God, because God was going to use him. But when the king of Syria sent the letter, he didn't send it to the man of God. He didn't send it to Elisha. He sent it to the king of Israel. And when the king of Israel opened the letter and he read it, he got concerned. Because the letter said that he had the responsibility of healing Naaman. That the king of Syria expected the king of Israel to do something that was impossible. And when the king of Israel read that his greatest enemy wanted him to heal Naaman, he feared that this was just a Syrian ploy to invade Israel, to conquer Israel, and to destroy them. You see, the king of Israel knew that he could not defeat the king of Syria. The king of Israel knew that he could not heal Naaman. He understood that circumstances were beyond his control. And you know what the king of the people of God did? You know what the king of Israel did? He curled up in a ball and cried. He felt hopeless. He didn't call for help. He didn't call for help from the kingdom of Judah. He didn't ask for the man of God to be brought to him. He didn't say to the people, "Let's pray because our God is mighty and our God is strong to do something," when he was faced with something impossible. When he was faced with a situation that was beyond his control, the king of Israel felt fear. He just mourned the inevitable defeat of Israel. He was paralyzed by fear. Like the king of Israel, have you been ever controlled by fear? You see, fear is something normal. We all experience it, but have you ever been paralyzed by fear? Has fear ever stopped you from doing something you knew you had to do? You see, opening our minds to new things is often frightening because, by definition, it is unfamiliar. And our nature says that we fear what we don't know. However, if you think about it, most of the things we fear don't actually come to pass. Most of the things that you spent all night last night thinking about will never come to pass, because that's the nature of fear. Sometimes we fear so much that we are stopped from doing what we know we have to do, and in the end, nothing that we feared happens. So when you're facing circumstances that are outside of your control, don't allow fear to stop you. In fact, strive to overcome fear. Strive to overcome fear. How do you do that? How do you overcome fear, Pastor Armin? Because honestly, I haven't been doing a good job at that. Well, the first step is recognizing the feeling when it happens. When you realize that you're feeling afraid, When you realize that you're feeling concerned, you need to take a moment and ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? What is causing me to feel this way? And when you are able to pinpoint the source of your stress, when you're able to pinpoint the source of your anxiety, or when you're able to recognize that circumstance that is beyond your control, you need to ask yourself another question. Is my problem greater than my God? And when you realize that your God is greater, then there's nothing to fear. And that's why we are able to overcome fear. We are able to overcome fear because our God is greater, because our God is stronger. We're able to overcome fear not because of ourselves, but because the one who lives inside of us. And yes, you are going to feel afraid. At some point you are. But remember that your God is more powerful. And that's what happened. That's what Elijah brings to this story. Verse 8. When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know there is a prophet in Israel. When Elijah found out the king of Israel was paralyzed by fear, he confronted the king. Elijah told the king, "Why are you afraid? There is a powerful God in Israel that can do the impossible. There is no reason for you to be afraid." Elijah went to the king of Israel and told him, "Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able to heal Naaman. Our God is able to do the impossible. Our God is able to do the things that are beyond our reach." He told the king, "This circumstance that is beyond your control, O king of Israel, it's not beyond the control of God Almighty." And I believe that there's someone here today that needed to hear that. That the circumstance that you are going through that is beyond your reach is not beyond the reach of God Almighty. That there is still hope. But like the king of Israel, we're all tempted to focus on the negative. You see, we tend to pay too much attention to things we can't control. We tend to forget that we serve a powerful God. See, we've experienced the presence of God. We've seen Him answer prayer. We've experienced the reality of who God is and how powerful He is, but sometimes we just forget. We forget that God is powerful. We forget that our God is able. And yes, don't get me wrong. We are responsible to do what we can. But when we reach the end of our rope, but when there is no other way out, God can do for us way much more than we can accomplish on our own. When we feel that we reach our limit, God is just already starting. Because our God is able. When facing circumstances that are beyond your control, trust that God is able. Hallelujah. Now you may be thinking, well, Pastor Armin, that's all great, and I clapped too, but I'm not sure I can do this. You see, Pastor Armin, I've tried in the past and nothing happened. And look at all that I've gone through. Is God really able? And if you're asking yourself that question, that is a fair question to ask. In fact, both Naaman and the king of Israel wonder the same thing. And as we continue with our story, we'll discover how Naaman came to believe that God is able. Verse 13. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" When Naaman arrived to Elisha's house, Elisha broke all protocol. Elisha didn't receive Naaman at the door. Elisha didn't pray for him. Elisha didn't treat him with royalty. He didn't treat him with all the pomp and circumstance that Naaman was used to. And you know why? Because Elijah wanted Naaman to realize that the one with the power was not him, that the one with the power was God. And Elijah told Naaman, "You need to go to the Jordan River, a river that is muddy, a river that is dark, a river that is not as good as the rivers that you have back in Syria. Go to that river, and you're going to immerse yourself 7 times. And after the 7th time, the Lord our God is going to heal you, and you will have leprosy no more." Oof. But Naaman struggled with believing that God was able. And he got mad. And he said, "We're leaving." And they pack up their things and they were ready to go home. When this brave young man, one of his servants, one of his slaves, confronted him. When this man risked his own life in order to save the life of his master. And he tells Naaman, "Why don't you just do it? You would have been willing to do something more complicated. Can't you believe that God is able? What do you have to fear? Let's do it. Let's go to the river and get it over with." You see, it takes courage to do the will of God. It takes courage to do the will of God. It takes courage to do something new. What if they don't hire me? What if she says no? What if I fail? What if nothing happens? See, it is so easy to find 1,000 excuses not to do something new. See, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the quality that enables a person to face difficulty, to face danger, and to face pain despite fear. So be willing to take a risk. Do something outside of your comfort zone. When circumstances are beyond your control, you must be bold if you are to overcome. Be bold. Verse 14. So when Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Naaman took the advice of his servant. Naaman obeyed the command of God. He went to the Jordan River. He immersed himself 7 times. And when he came out, he was completely clean. He had been healed. Naaman heard the word of God. Naaman believed the word of God. But if Naaman left it there, nothing would have happened. The miracle happened when Naaman followed through. The miracle happened when Naaman took everything that he had learned along the way and put it into practice. Only head knowledge or only an emotional experience would not have done it. The miracle happened when Naaman took a step of faith. It was when Naaman did what he could that God did what he couldn't. It is when you are willing to do what you can. It is when you are willing to take a step of faith that God will step in and say, whenever you reach your end, I will do what you can't. If you want to experience a miracle, if you want to experience the power of God, you need to follow through. Implement what you've learned. There are many things you cannot do. I understand that. But you must do what you can. You have been learning some things throughout this process. You have been learning some things throughout this season of life, even though it has been really hard. So apply those things. When facing circumstances that are beyond your control, follow through, and God will do what you cannot do. Let's continue with our story. Verse 15. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." So please accept a gift from your servant. You see, Naaman went back to Elisha's house worshiping. He went to Elijah's house celebrating. He went to Elijah's house recognizing that God had done the impossible, that God was able. He went to Elijah's house full of gratitude. He had doubts. He had doubts, but when he took a step of faith, God showed up and healed him. Naaman was humble enough to admit that he could not have healed himself. You see, gratitude is a thankful appreciation for what we receive. With gratitude, we recognize that the source of our blessing lies at least partially in someone outside of ourselves. As a result, gratitude helps us to connect with God, to experience God. When Naaman was able to corroborate that God was able, he was grateful. And allow me to share this advice with you. When you take a step of faith, when you follow through, and you do something new, and you overcome fear, and when you act boldly, when you do all those things and you succeed, when you see the miracle, when things turn around, remember to be grateful. Remember to be grateful. Remember God and remember those around you who encouraged you along the way. Remember to be grateful. Today, we have learned 7 steps we can use to react in a healthy way when circumstances are beyond our control. Let's review them. Number one, focus on your purpose. Number two, be open to try new things. Number three, overcome fear. Number four, trust that God is able. Number five, be bold. Number six, follow through. Number seven, be grateful. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me for a second, if you'd be so kind as to close your eyes? I don't know what kind of circumstance you may be facing right now. I don't know what you're going through that it's outside of your control. But I do know that God has shown us a way to react in a healthy way. That God has shown us how to react in a healthy way when circumstances are beyond our control. Even though this list may sound overwhelming, and even though you may still wonder if God is truly able, I believe if you take a step of faith, God will see you through. I believe that even if you're questioning and you're having doubts, I believe that even if the circumstances that you're going through seem too difficult, if you take a step of faith, God will do for you what you cannot do. The question is there anyone here today that is willing to take a step of faith? Is there anyone in this room this morning that is willing to say, I believe that God is able, that He's greater than my circumstances, that He's greater than everything that I'm going through, and I'm taking a step of faith? And if that's you, I want you to actually take a step of faith and come to this altar. And let's declare it in the name of Jesus. Let's say, God, I'm willing to do what I can, and I'm going to trust that you are going to do what I can't. Take that step of faith. Say, Lord, I believe that you're able, and I'm willing to do what I can, and I'm trusting that you will do what I can't.